Hello and welcome to the Be Unapologetically You radio podcast. My name is Kelsey Davidson and I am your host. On this podcast, we talk about all things personal development, health and wellness, and of course, fitness, and how you can do all of those things, create a lifestyle that works for you and nobody else, because nobody else was made like you. So why would you do it the same way as somebody else? Well, unless it works. So thank you for joining us today and let's get started into the episode.
Hello and welcome back to Be Unapologetically You Radio. I am so excited for you guys to listen to this podcast episode with my friend Jess Hendrick. Jess Hendrick and I connected through a Chris Harder webinar earlier this year, and it just flowed from there. And I'm so excited to share this conversation with you that I had with Jess. She is a relationships coach, specifically focusing on the conscious part of your relationship, but more importantly, how our beliefs and our challenges and our perspective impact our ability to have good relationships and to be able to create new ones with the purpose of having outside help or some outside accountability, and how that will serve you in the long term. So that way you can truly create the life that you want, because anytime you have a life, you want to share it with people. And if you don't have good relationships, it's going to make it hard to have a really enjoyable life. But I'm so excited for y'all to dive into this podcast. We talk about some myths that we hear or common beliefs, like I'm only complete when I have kids, when I'm married, when I have this job. We talk about always having a bad boss. I'm starting to see a trend here. And several other topics that I know will serve you in your life, especially with everything going on. If you enjoy this podcast, please take a screenshot and upload it to your Instagram stories or Facebook and tag me and Jess and let us know what your biggest takeaway is. And I'm so excited for you guys to enjoy this podcast. And let's dive in.
Hi, Jess. Welcome to Be Unapologetically You Radio podcast.
Thank you so much, Kelsey. I'm so excited to be here.
Stoked to have you as well. So I would love for you to tell the audience a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Sure. So my name is Jess Hendrick, and for my entire life, I have had a lot of challenges in my relationships. From the time I was a very, very small child, I was really emotional. I had very big emotions, and my parents, they did the very best they could. They loved me, but they had no clue how to handle someone with such big emotions. And so it was kind of tumultuous for me as a kid, and I didn't really learn how to regulate myself. And I kind of created certain beliefs about the world due to my experiences as a child that transferred into my adult life. And then they impacted my adult relationships. So certain beliefs in my mind, like I have to be perfect in order to be lovable and things like that. So that created a lot of challenges because, as we know, perfect doesn't exist. So trying to strive to meet a belief like that can be impossible, right? And I had a lot of challenges in my relationships, especially romantic relationships as an adult, until I learned that my subconscious mind, the way that I was seeing the world, was impacting everything. So that was my freedom. So now what I do is I coach my clients in terms of relationships, and that can be anywhere from like a romantic relationship and partnership to their relationship just with themselves, to really uncover the beliefs that they're operating from. So the filter through which they see the world. And if it's a filter that isn't serving them, we can kind of adjust it and change it. And then they experience more fulfilling relationships, if that makes sense.
It does. I had a guest on a previous podcast and we talked a huge ton about my mindset. And one of the topics was, is always having a bad boss and how that manifested in somebody's life.
Oh yeah. I can relate to that one. And it's really funny because a lot of the way this shows up for people is, you know, we go through our lives for a certain amount of years and we think the problem is out there, right? Like, it's the boss, or it's the men I meet, or the women I meet, or it's my parents. And eventually you get to the point, if you're lucky, where you look in the mirror and you realize, wait a second, what's the common denominator here? And it can be a bit of a rude awakening to realize that you're the common denominator, but then that's also where your power lies, because you can learn to shift and kind of change how you relate to people and relate to life. And then it can be more fulfilling for you. So that's the silver lining in that.
So let's piggyback on that. So let's say somebody is sitting here listening to us and they're like, oh shit, Kelsey and Jess, I have that light bulb moment. That is me. What would be some tactical items that they could do to start to take steps on this journey?
Well, for me personally, I've found that it's very important to have an outside perspective when you're going on this journey, because when we're in it, when we're in our own lives and we're operating in our own lives, it's hard to kind of see things objectively. So for me personally, I had a therapist for many years, and then I've had different coaches, and they kind of see things that I don't necessarily see, or they'll guide me to see things for myself that maybe I needed a little help to create awareness around. I would recommend, if you hear this and you think, oh, that sounds like me, that's kind of what's happening in my life, I would say just start kind of investigating, looking into different coaches, maybe therapists, whatever feels right for you, and you'll know in your body. Like all of my clients that I have, they have a knowing, and I also have a knowing that it's a good fit. So I would have a call, have a call with a coach, whether it's me or someone else, and just see if it feels like a fit for you, because your intuition is going to guide you to the next steps. And the awareness of the pattern is almost half the battle, because so many people go through their lives just operating from this certain belief system, like my boss sucks. And then you go to the next job and that boss sucks and that boss sucks. And it's like, well, why does this keep happening to me? And the same thing with dating, Oh, I keep attracting the same dynamic, but it's a different person, but it's the same person in a different body kind of thing. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes perfect sense. Because I think the biggest thing is we start to feel like we're on Groundhog Day. And it's like, why am I in Groundhog Day? I don't want to be in Groundhog Day. How do I get off this train? And I agree, definitely having some outside perspective is critical when you can do that. Another way that helps for those of you that are still looking into a coach or researching is journaling and recording your voice memos. That makes a huge difference, because it allows you to kind of pull yourself out of the situation and be a little bit more subjective to it. What are your thoughts on that?
I love that you just said that, Kelsey, because one of the things that I do with my clients is we actually go into past memories and we kind of pull out the beliefs that we're operating from that were created by a memory in the past. So a lot of times it goes as far back to when we were a little child. And if you pay attention to the way you speak, so if you're talking to your friends, on a day-to-day basis, listen to what you're saying and listen to, because you'll hear your own beliefs in your sentences when you're talking to people. Like if you believe money is hard to come by, you'll hear yourself saying things like, well, it's so hard and I just always have debt and I can never get out of it or whatever. And you'll hear your beliefs. So, and you'll hear yourself start to hear your friends' beliefs too, and just people in your lives, because it's the things that you repeat over and over again. And it's like a program running in the brain. And it's not bad. It's not wrong. It's just at a certain point, we learn these beliefs in order to survive in whatever circumstances we had at that time. And a lot of times they aren't serving us anymore. So we can create awareness is the first step, and then actually go in and decrease the emotional charge behind the belief, because that's what gives it its power. And once we release that, it's a process that we go through, and we can choose differently. And we can say, money is everywhere and money comes to me easily, and just kind of reprogramming, literally giving our brain a new program to run versus like, I never have enough money.
So what would you say to that person that's like, okay, Jess, I hear what you're saying, but give me one tool I can do by myself in the meantime, because I got to give me something here. What can I do in the meantime to help myself?
Okay. So in the meantime, I would just say, slow everything down and just allow yourself to just kind of be the observer of your thoughts and try to let them kind of just pass through and just observe them without judgment. Because a lot of people get stuck in like, well, I shouldn't think this. And why do I do this over and over again? And the judgment. And that just like keeps us stuck in that pattern. If we can just be the observer and just see, okay, that's interesting. Almost like an outside perspective. I wonder why I do that. Because everything comes from somewhere. So if you see, this is what I tell people too, you know, when they come to me with relationship challenges, whatever the challenge is, however someone's behaving, there's always a reason. And it usually goes back to their childhood. And if we can kind of have the outside perspective rather than like, their behavior is making me feel da-da-da-da-da. But like, why might they be behaving in that way? There has to be a reason. It's the same thing for you. Why are you behaving in that way? Even if you, because a lot of us, like I have a few friends that have come to me, especially lately, saying like, why do I keep doing this? I always do this. And I'm like, okay, let's just be the observer and just observe yourself. And when does that pattern come up? And let's just take away the judgment and uncover what's underneath rather than like beating ourselves up about it.
That makes so much sense, because I think that's the biggest thing that people struggle with mindset work, is they're too busy judging themselves to even look at the thought, because they're too busy like, oh, I don't need to have this. Why am I thinking like this? And they're too busy in that state versus like going into that next step, which is, okay, you're aware you're having that thought, but now you got to get over the fact that you feel bad that you're having that thought so you can do something about it at the same time.
Yes. Exactly. And that's where it can almost be an avoidance tactic for, so all of us have different levels of trauma, you know, even if it's like trauma with a little T, when you're a little kid and maybe, you know, you dropped your ice cream on the ground and someone said you're stupid. Like it can be as small as that, but it really impacts us. Things like that that happen when we're very young imprint in our brain. And then we're like, I'm stupid. I'm stupid. I'm stupid. And we replay it over and over again. And it can almost be a way to, when we judge ourselves for that belief, it's almost a way to avoid going into the emotions behind it. It's like, I don't want to feel the pain of that experience. So I'm going to stay up here in my logical mind and I'm going to judge the shit out of myself, you know, like just judge myself rather than go into the feeling of like, that really scared me, you know, or that was really painful or whatever. It's like an avoidance tactic almost that our brain does. So we don't have to feel the pain.
Can you talk to a little bit about why it's important to process that emotion and why that is part of the process of healing and changing your beliefs? Because I think a lot of people are like, okay, I recognize this belief. I can skip that step. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, folks, I wish it worked that way. It'd be so much easier for all of us, but it just doesn't. You have to process, which means you have to feel those emotions. But could you tell why they have to do that and why they can't skip that step?
Sure. And before I share with why it's important, I just want to say that this has been one of the challenges for me. So I relate deeply to people who aren't able to kind of go into the emotional state, because a lot of us learned as a survival mechanism, as little children, to stay up in our logical brain in order to survive. So like if I go into the emotion, it's scary and I don't know if I can even get out of it. So let me stay up here in the brain. And then we carry that with us as adults. So go easy on yourself. It's a process. And I honestly had 2 years where I didn't cry at all, not even one tear. And now I'm to the point where I can allow myself to actually go in and feel the emotions. And sometimes still my brain's like, oh, get out, get out, get out. Don't go in there. Don't go in there. So just know it's a process. And this is another time where it might be helpful to have just a support in some way, whether it's a friend you feel safe with or a coach or a therapist, whatever feels best for you. But the reason why it's so important is because our emotions are what back our belief system. So for me, I'll just use a belief that I had when I was very little. I told myself, you know, if I'm perfect, I'll be lovable. And I brought that with me throughout my life. And you hold on like so tightly to that belief because it's charged by the experiences you had as a child. So if you can go back and kind of re-experience and allow your body to feel the feelings and just and a lot of people, when we do this process, they actually have a release, whether it's like crying or feeling angry and letting that out and just releasing the emotion behind the, I have to be perfect. I have to be perfect. And when you can release it, it takes away its power. So that is the key to this work. So that's why we can't, that's why a lot of us can logically see like, well, for me, like perfect doesn't exist. Like, why would I think that? That's not even possible. But it's like you're operating from a belief you formed as a very small child that's literally programmed in the neurons in your brain. So getting into the feeling and releasing the charge gives us space to then reprogram, give our brain a new program, but then we have to engage in repetition because it's not just going to be like, oh, well, you know, I'm perfect because I exist or whatever. It's like you have to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it and actually form new pathways in the brain.
That makes sense. And for those of you that may not be catching the programming aspect of it, we have two aspects of our mind that typically run. We have the conscious brain and then we have the subconscious brain. Now, naturally, we would think the conscious brain runs everything in the body. That's just naturally what we think. But folks, it does not. It runs like 5% of everything we do. Our subconscious brain runs the other 95% of our life. Why we have a gut reaction, why we have these decisions that we make, why that if we have this certain choice between left and right, we always pick right. Like the subconscious is running that all the time. And what she's trying to tell you is that you can consciously be wanting to make a better decision, but if you don't deal with your crap, and let me be honest, we all have crap. I have crap that I'm dealing with. That's why we have a therapist and coach and everything else. You got to have a team, folks. It just works that way. But if you don't deal with that, you're never going to get where you want to go. And that's what she's trying to drill into your lovely little heads, okay, is you have got to deal with yourself in order to get to where you want to go. Am I summarizing you correct?
Yes, it was so perfect. And I got shivers when you said that because it's the thing with the subconscious mind is most of the programs that we're running are great and they serve us, like riding a bike, driving our cars, brushing our teeth. Those things are automatic, which is amazing. And it's awesome. So it's not that the subconscious mind is wrong or bad. It's just that some of the programs that we're running are not serving us anymore. They did at one time or we wouldn't have them. So when I was a little kid, I thought I had to be perfect. Who knows what kind of feedback I got? Maybe when I thought I was perfect, in quotes, maybe I got positive feedback from parents, teachers. And so I continued to reinforce that belief, right? So it's just kind of going in and identifying the pieces and the beliefs that aren't serving us anymore. And then what would we like to create? So we also need to create kind of a vision, which I love that you said, Kelsey, like if you want the life that you desire, then having clarity around what you want to create is very helpful because once we kind of dismantle and reprogram the beliefs that aren't serving us, what do we want to replace it with? And we want those to be in alignment with the life we want to create.
And that makes so much sense. So as a fitness coach, my realm is in habits. So we do touch in a good portion of habit and subconscious and conscious mind. And also as being a biomechanist, which is where you work with the body to improve movement patterns, that's purely subconscious work. And the thing is that we're getting it. I want y'all on the other side of your headphones to realize is that you can't take away without putting in. It just doesn't work that way. We can't just take something out and not put something back in its place. It's true in science. It's true in food, in place. There's always a give and a take. And so do realize that you do have to make that decision of what you want to put in its place. But the biggest goal that you can do is just taking time to figure out what you want in the end. And then you can work backwards to how to do it. Because a lot of time we know what we want for our lives, like innately. Wouldn't you agree with that as well? Like people want to be free. People want to feel like they have control over their decisions. They want to feel like they have enough wealth or abundance in their life to live the life they want. They want to feel loved and they want to feel safe. If you've ever studied Maslow's hierarchy of needs, if you don't have a foundation, you ain't going anywhere, folks. If you don't know what Maslow's is, it'll be linked in the description. It's important. We're just going to go with that. Moving on from there, you've got to know your foundation so you can build the rest of it. But this kind of segues really well into the next part. You focus a lot on relationships with folks. Yeah. And something that I believe, and I'd love to hear your thoughts, is I feel like if we don't take care of our relationship with ourselves, our relationship with other people is going to be shit.
Amen, sister.
So would you talk about why that is and also how that impacts? Because I know for a lot of women, we have this, I never had this belief. My mother was really good at keeping that from us having this belief, and I praise her for that. I never felt like I needed a man to be whole. Amazing. Never did. But there's a lot of women and a lot of cultures that force that belief on women. And then it has negative impact on other aspects. Can you speak into that? But also how, this is like the 10,000 questions. I'm so sorry. Okay. But let's start with like why taking care of yourself and having a good relationship with yourself impacts your other relationships and then feed into this negative belief that we see a lot with women that they need a man or let's go with they need a partner in order to be whole.
Perfect. Okay.
Or children.
Yeah, that one too. There, I would love to speak to all of this. We are so aligned, you and I. So the reason why it's very important for us to take care of ourselves and make sure that we are okay, at the very least, if not like thriving, is because you can't give from an empty cup. So, and a lot of us as women, like Kelsey said, and even some men, we have like the disease of the people pleaser where we feel like, well, we need to give because then we'll get love or whatever it is. Right. And the truth is that we cannot give from what we don't have already. So if we're already completely depleted, we don't have anything to give other people. So we have to give ourselves what we need first, and we have to check in with ourselves first. And one of the practices that I learned from one of my coaches is waking up in the morning and giving yourself just a dose of loving energy. Like, give it to yourself. And if you don't know how to do that, I can help. Or I'm sure another coach or therapist can help, but there's tools that we can implement, whether it's, for me, it's a lot of meditation and prayer and surrounding myself with people that lift me up. But it all comes back to being able to even know what you need to be okay. And a lot of people don't. They're like, well, what do I even need? I'm so used to giving to other people. I don't even know what that looks like to take care of myself first. But the bottom line is, if we're constantly, you know, ignoring what we need and giving and doing this and doing that, we will build up resentment. And that isn't healthy for us or our relationships. And it will come out in some way. So it's much more conducive if you can take care of yourself first. And in your relationships, hopefully you attract people that also live by this philosophy, and you can just let them know, you know what, today I don't have anything in me to give. And I've gotten in the habit with my friends, we ask each other, like, are you in the place where I could talk to you about something today, you know, something that I'm going through, or are you not? And if they're not, it's cool. I'm like, no problem. And they're the same. But I didn't always have that type of friendship in my life. So I don't know if that, does that help, Kelsey? Does that answer that one?
Yes, ma'am, it does. And I think for a lot of people, they're like, okay, great. I know I need this. What y'all don't see, I'm just going to, I am underneath a blanket because I'm right next to the air conditioner. So I'm trying to protect the microphone. So if you hear Jess laughing, she's laughing at me because I'm making this incredibly difficult for her right now. But no, it makes perfect sense. And then those of you that are thinking, and I know you're questioning this because I've been there and so has Jess, is like, where do I find these people? Where do I find these people that even understand what the hell you just said? And this is where you start to put yourself in these rooms, whether it's virtually, physically, when it's safe again, we're still in COVID, to put yourself in those situations. So, for example, I have a circle of friends that I met at Lori Harder's Bliss Project. Not Bliss Project, a Tribe Called Bliss book tour. And those have become some of my closest friends. And we do similar things where we ask, are you capable of? And then are you capable of helping me? Can you have this conversation? Is this a good day? If not, I can check in with somebody else. And it's just realizing that you can train. If there's people you know are able to come up with you into that, you can train them on that, just like they can train you to ask specific things as well. And it's just providing awareness, but also realizing not everybody in your circle can have that kind of conversation, nor should they. They may be in that same place as you, but putting yourself in the room so you can find those people that will move with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And I would say, you know, anyone who's, I feel like when the teacher is writing a student appears, so if this resonates with you, that means you're at a place where this is going to just unfold for you. You know, if you have the intention of attracting the people, the places, the circumstances and events where you can be the highest version of yourself, it will unfold. So just know, you know, you don't always have to know the how. You just know that if this resonates with you, you're there. You're ready to have these kind of connections with people.
Exactly. And also don't keep waiting for something to smack you upside the head and go, you're ready. Hello. You know, this is not the butterfly effect. The butterfly flies through and smacks you on the side of the face here, guys. Like, the signs don't always come that way. There's a few times and it's real creepy and really awesome at the same time when it does. But most of the time it's like, okay, here I go. Here goes nothing. God help me, or whatever you believe in. You know, it's just say a prayer and keep moving forward is usually how that works.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's a process and it's a journey. And that's, I mean, we're all here, I believe, on this planet to learn and grow and evolve. And there's always another layer, like peeling the layers of an onion. So just know that all of us we're all on a different, we each have our own individual journeys and we don't know other people's journeys and why they're here and what their lessons are. So just kind of staying in your lane, like that's been a big one for me, rather than concerning myself with like what they're doing or what they're saying or whatever, just let me just stay in my lane. And like you were saying, Kelsey, you know, in conversation with people, you can just be the example. Like you don't necessarily have to say to them, you know, can you ask me if I have the bandwidth for your problem? Like you could ask them, hey, I have something I'm going through. Would you be available to discuss it with me today? Or if not, no problem. And for those on the other end, when your friend is coming to you and maybe you don't have the bandwidth or you don't have the capacity, like you're going through something yourself, know that when you tell them, you know, today isn't a good day, you're actually giving them a gift of learning to regulate themselves and not needing to always go outside of themselves to another person, you know, so that's a gift in itself. So don't feel bad if you can't, you know, hold space for somebody or be, you know, a support for them in that moment, because they will learn to go within themselves.
Definitely. And I would love for you to talk about how, or at least a couple of like common beliefs people have that prevent them from creating the relationships that we want. Because as we were just saying, our relationship with ourselves is the most important because it manifests everything else in our life, good or bad. But what are some common beliefs people have that prevent them from having good relationship dynamics that you see in your coaching?
That's such a good question. And it's usually some version of, I'm not enough, like in some way, shape, or form. Like, I'm not enough. I don't deserve this. Or like, do I even deserve to have a healthy relationship? Maybe I just don't. Or maybe I'm not X enough. Like, smart enough, funny enough, pretty enough, fit enough, whatever you want, right? Whatever excuse. So it's usually some version of I'm not enough.
Don't we all have that question in all capacity of our life?
That's why it's like, it's so important to have these conversations, because in having these conversations, you realize, oh my gosh, I'm not alone. This is literally the human experience. We all have these beliefs. We all have these fears. And if we can join together, this is what I say to my clients, and I believe it fully, is like, we are not here to do this alone. Like, we're on this planet to love each other and help each other grow and hold each other through challenges.
Definitely. I would agree with that 10,000%. I mean, there's a reason why we always wanted to be a tribe in some capacity, or we want to feel like we belong. That belief or thought or desire would not be there if that was not the case.
Yes, absolutely. And I just wanted to circle back, because you also mentioned, you might have to reiterate the question, but it was about like women growing up, or maybe men too, but for me, like, I noticed a lot of women feel that they're incomplete unless they have a partner. So if I could just speak to that.
Please, for the love of God, yes.
That's one of my favorite topics, because that was me for a very, very long time. And this goes back to, you know, when we were very, very little children, and it comes from programming from our families, from our culture, from Disney movies. Like, what movie can you name where a prince didn't come in and like save the princess and take her, and they lived happily ever after, right? It's like,
Legally Blonde is the only one I can think of, and she saved the day.
Yeah.
And then he joined, but she was the lead. But I'm sitting here, I'm trying to think of, I need to watch more like a color. I can't think of any others right now, but that's part of being educated with everything going on with Black Lives Matter and me being a white female. I'm working on that. So I need to know some other movies here.
Yeah. And it's just to kind of illustrate that, like, this message of you need a man to be whole has been ingrained in our brains from the time we were very little. And you think you're so blessed that your mom didn't kind of reinforce that. And that's amazing. And what a gift. And I know, like, I felt like that for a very, very long time. And like the age thing for women too, like, by this age, I need to have, you know, a partner, a husband or kids or whatever. Otherwise, you know, I am not where I need to be. And it goes back again to like, everyone has their own journey. Everyone has their own timeline. And placing timelines on ourselves, like, one of the greatest gifts that I had in my life, and I believe the universe is always speaking to us, or God or source, whatever word you want to use. I was like early to mid 30s, and I had a neighbor in my building, and we became really good friends. She was older, maybe in her 50s. And she said to me, whatever you do, do not marry someone just because, you know, you're this age now, so let me marry the next person I come across. Because that's what she did. She was turning 30. She married her boyfriend, and they had a really rocky marriage and got divorced. And she was like, it's not worth it. Like, and that was such a gift to me, because I was thinking like, I better get on it. Like, who am I going to marry? You know, and it's such a strong program for us as women. So it's, again, it's like a dismantling and kind of a questioning of like, who says? And how many people do you know? Like, I know quite a few people, God bless them, that are in marriages that are not happy. So I personally would rather be, single. I don't want to say alone. I'd rather be single and in my peace than in a relationship that I feel stuck in, or that is like kind of dragging me down. But I wasn't always there. I was on the other end of the spectrum before. So I have a lot of clients with that kind of pattern as well. And we work through that and shift it. And they're like, when they come out of it, they have this new belief that nothing is more important than their own peace, which I love. Cause then it's like, people can come and go, partners can come and go, but our peace is our priority, you know?
I agree. And that's one of the best things about my relationship with AJ. AJ and I have been married oh shit, this is, he remembers all that. I don't. 7 years. And it's, we both knew who we were as people and we both knew what we wanted and we started with that. And so that allowed our relationship to be very healthy because we both knew what we wouldn't sacrifice, what we would be willing to work on. We both knew our flaws and were willing to expose them as we go on and have those conversations. Whereas some people, they hide everything. And then all of a sudden you're married to this person. It's like, I didn't sign up for this, or at least I didn't think I did. Yeah. And the other peeve of mine that is like societal is this expectation of no matter what age you are, you get married, you have kids.
Yes.
And that pisses me off to no end because one, it's a belief that we shouldn't have, but two, you have no idea about that couple's health situation or their background or whether they're trying or whether they had good family dynamics. I mean, that is such a loaded question. I have very good friends that have always wanted a family and they can't have kids. And people ask them all the time and I just want to scream at people. And sometimes I do because they need that boundary to be set for them.
Yeah. And for that, I hear you 100% on that. Like, and it's interesting because I feel like you're talking about kind of a level of emotional intelligence. And I do believe that, you know, we all have the capacity to kind of expand our own consciousness and our empathy for other people and things like that. But I will say that when I was obsessed with like, where's my husband? Like when I was in that stage of my life, thank God that's over. When I was in that stage, I would get questions everywhere I went, like from my clients, from my parents, from my relatives, like, are you getting married? You better hurry up. Da 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 da, right? The whole thing. And what was so interesting is when I shifted that energy within myself and I no longer felt like, oh my God, I need to get married. Nobody asked me anymore. And I was like, that is the power of shifting your energy field and your beliefs, because then you no longer attract that kind of questioning into your life because you're not focused on that. Or if you do, it doesn't bother you. You're like, yeah, you know, this works for me. I'm good. Thanks for, because a therapist pointed out to me too, sometimes people just ask those things because they don't know how to connect. And they're like, well, let me ask you, when are you getting married? Or when do you have a kid? Because they don't have the skills to connect on like a deeper level. And that changed the perception for me versus being like, shut up about me getting married, to like, oh, they're trying to have a conversation. Maybe they don't know what to say, but I hear you about those situations and those questions.
Yeah. I had to state a lot of boundaries over the years. Cause even after that, I was like, I had to tell people, no, that is off topic. You need to learn other questions. Because that's just not an okay question to ask.
Yeah.
Period. You just know nothing about their lives, and nor should you unless they bring it up. If they bring it up, that's a whole nother ball game. But you don't start out the door with that question. I mean, come on. Think better, people. You're smart folks. I believe in you.
Yeah. And the bottom line is, like you said, you honest to God, like you have no idea what's going on in people's lives. And I promise you all that Instagram does not equal reality. Social media does not equal reality. And I know many, many people that are having a really hard time and it is not reflected on their social media and they don't talk about it day to day. So it's kind of like, you know, when I'm living from the space I want to live from, I'm approaching everybody just with as much love and compassion as I can, because you have no idea what they're going through. You know, no clue. Like Kelsey said, you know, they could be trying to have a baby for 5 years and they're getting that question and it's like, oh, like it hits them right in the jugular, you know?
Yeah, it's so, so true. Is there anything else that's on your heart or anything you would like to share that with the audience that's on your mind right now?
I think we covered a lot. I mean, just that my passion and my mission in this lifetime is to guide people back to the truth of who they are, because ultimately we all deserve love and we all can find that space within ourselves where that exists, whether we have a partner, whether we don't have a partner. And I would invite you, if you're listening and this resonates with you, if you want to have a call with me, I offer 30-minute complimentary calls, and we can just see if it would be something that feels like a next step for you, or reach out to another coach or another therapist. But I would encourage you to get support, because I feel, you know, the teacher and the student are one, and you're walking together on your journey, and it makes it, it helps. Because for people like me, like, I didn't really share much about this, but I had many, many years where I was extremely depressed and on medication and very, very anxious, and I didn't see another way. And I just want you all to know that there is always another way, and there's it's always possible. You know, miracles really do exist. If I can feel better, if I am a relationship coach for a living, like, if you knew me years ago, it's like night and day. So if I can do it, anyone can do it. And that's kind of my main message. So I feel like that's probably important to share.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. I appreciate it. I'm so happy you're here today. Tell the audience where they can connect with you and find out more about you and to schedule one of those calls with you.
Thank you so much, Kelsey. It's such a pleasure talking to you. I love just having these conversations with other like-minded people. It like energizes me for the entire day. So thank you. And you can find me on my website, which is jesshendrick.com. And my Instagram handle is @jesshendrick111. So those are the two main places where you can book your free complimentary call. And then I also have a Facebook page, which is Jess Hendrick. So you can find me there as well.
Excellent. And I will have that linked in the description for you guys. So you can go find her on Instagram and her website and all the other places she mentioned today. Are you ready for the last and final question, Jess?
I'm ready.
Okay. Please tell the listener how they can be unapologetically themselves.
Oh, I love that question. Okay. So I would say, in order to be unapologetically yourself, you need to really tune into yourself and your emotions, because our emotions are always guiding us. So if we feel icky, if we feel amazing, it's just guidance. So for me, I've learned to kind of stop and just check in with myself. How am I feeling? And what do I need? And ask yourself, what do I need in this moment? Do I need time alone? Do I need to listen to some music? Do I need a bubble bath? And give it to yourself. And that's a way to kind of meet your own needs and fill your own cup. And then you're honoring yourself, and the right people and places and circumstances will come into your life if you're honoring yourself, because you're being true to yourself, and the ones that aren't a fit will just fall away.
Amen. I agree with that for sure. Well, thank you so much, Jess. I appreciate you so much. And thank you all for your time today listening to this podcast. Please tag both me and Jess on Instagram with a screenshot giving your biggest takeaway, so that way we can connect with you and find you and ask all the questions, and you can ask us the questions. Thank you so much, and have a great day, folks. Dudes and dudettes, I hope you really enjoyed that episode. I love that you came and spent some time with us today. If you enjoyed the podcast, please take a moment to review us on iTunes. It really does help the podcast get found, and of course, provides us feedback that we need to make the show better. You can also follow us on Instagram at @BeUnapologeticallyYouRadio, or you can follow Kelsey at Kelsey Lane Fitness. We would love to see you tag us and share us on Instagram or Facebook of you listening to the podcast. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen to this podcast. And remember, don't forget to be unapologetically you. We'll catch you in the next episode.